morning. Good to be in God's house. It's good to have God's word. It's good to have God's spirit. Now, the world's going a little bit crazy right now, but God ain't went crazy. And as long as God don't go crazy, he'll take up the slack. Amen. And a lot of times that's all we give him is the slack. We do everything we want to do and then call on him to fix things up. And I'm glad we got a faithful God that'll do that for us. Amen. So let's keep on relying on him even in troublous times. Amen. Let's look in the book of Revelation. We'll talk a little bit about that this morning, troublous times. And I want to preach to you this morning about staying in the groove, staying in the groove. Before I read the scripture, I want to go ahead and just read you some of the definitions I found. Now, I didn't use the authorized, inspired 1828 dictionary to get this definition. I like that. I said, Brother Mike, close this Bible. I ain't listening to this trash. But you'll excuse me, I used Google's definition. I just looked it up online. It was easier than walking downstairs and finding my dictionary. But I believe this is a sufficient definition of the word groove. You said, if you're going to preach about something, you need to define what it is. Amen? Groove, I give you the noun. A long, narrow cut or depression, especially one made to guide emotion. Now, a good example of that, I say a good example, but most people won't even know what it is. A record. A record. That's a black disc about this big around. It will not fit in your CD player, but it goes on top of a spinning disc, and you turn on the spinning disc, and you set this little needle on there, and it plays music. That's called a record. They call that vinyl, a record, a vinyl record. Well, that little record has a groove cut in it, and it just spins around and around, and it gets closer to the center as the further it goes. You can get a little single, or you can get the whole album, amen? And you put that needle on there, and there's a groove cut in it. And I don't claim to understand how that little needle picks up sound off of that record. That's beyond me. That's out of my jurisdiction. But I do know that that needle follows that groove all the way to the end of the record. And if you're lucky, your kids ain't messed with it and it's not scratched, and you know, you'll be really in the groove, and then it'll start repeating itself and get you out of the groove. And that's where one, you know, the vernacular, the popular talk, when people say you're in the groove or out of the groove, that's actually where it come from. That record began to skip and 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 skip. And some of you, you know, if you're under 30 years old, I guess you don't know what I was just doing there, but that's what happens. Somebody will be singing, "Thank God I'm a country boy, a country boy, a country boy, a country," and it'll just say that over and over to you. Go over there and bump it, and it'll get back in the groove, and then it'll go on to the end of the record. Some of you don't know what you're missing listening to vinyl records. Of course, you ought not listen to rock music on records if you got them. Amen? But at any rate, if you listen to rock music, you're out of the groove. Amen. That's a noun. A long, narrow cut or depression, especially one made to guide motion. You know, the Lord has put us in a groove to guide our motion. Amen. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. And then definition number two for the noun is an established routine or habit. An established routine or habit. A Christian ought to have an established routine or habit. If you're out of the Christian habit, you say, "I don't think Christianity ought to be habitual." The Bible says they addicted themselves to the ministry. It's an established routine or a habit. You say, "Well, you're just doing that out of habit." Well, I wish people done everything they did out of a love for Jesus Christ, but it just ain't true that people don't do it all the time. And that's why, you know, Jack Howes preached a sermon on duty one time. He said, "Well, Brother Mike, I don't like Jack Howes." Well, I don't care if you like Jack Howes or not. What he said about duty was true. You got a Christian duty, you ought to do it. Amen. Sometimes there's this thing called responsibility. And you're not going to feel like doing everything you ought to, but you ought to do it anyway. And if you don't do it, guess what? You out of the groove. Amen. You out of the groove. And then groove is also a verb. It means to make a groove. That's discipleship. Some of you was, when you got saved, you was a miserable cuss. I mean, you just wasn't worth shooting, and God saved you anyway. And what somebody did, they took the Bible and they sat down and began to teach you and preach to you and got you in Sunday school where you ought to be. And what they was doing, they was making a groove in your life. I heard another message one time by another preacher no Baptist like, and there's a lot of things about him not to like. But Donald Barnhouse talked about character, and that character is something, if you hit a typewriter or something like that. Here I'm talking about ancient artifacts again, but a typewriter works off of a ribbon. The ribbon lays on the paper, and this arm comes up and smacks that ink onto the paper, and it makes a little indention in the paper, and it fills it with ink. And that's called a character. And that's what, it's a groove in the paper filled with ink. And you're able to read, you're able to learn, you're able to understand because the character's on the page. And other people look at your life, they see your character, they see what kind of impression you're making. And a Christian ought to make a definite impression. Amen? And so it's a verb to make a groove. And then I'll give you definition number two, and I don't reckon Christians ought to get too involved in this, but to be in the groove as far as a verb concerned means to dance and to play popular music. I don't recommend you do that unless it's Christianity, but I don't really see it as popular music. A lot of Christian music is not very popular with the world. Popular music, like, you know, pop. You know, the king of pop. You know more about Michael Jackson than you do about Paul the Apostle. Amen? Just true, some people do. Some people can tell you every song on every album. How many songs is that? I don't know. I ain't keeping up with them. But it's more than 10, more than 12, more than 15. You got that all situated. But anyway, popular music. Dance or play popular music. You say, well, Daniel danced before the Lord, yeah, but he wasn't doing the twist. Amen? Can we all agree on that? David did dance before the Lord. Oh, Roe Dudley danced up here one time, fell in the baptistry. And a lot of people think that's inappropriate. That's inappropriate. Well, so was the club you was at the night before, Saturday night, amen? You don't know how many people I've run into, at the workplace or out in the community doing my job. Oh, I go to church too. And if you talk to them long enough, you'll find, yeah, we went to the club the other night and we were, you know, those things don't go together, amen? I just thought I'd throw that in just for your enjoyment. But the end of that part of the definition, to dance, to play popular music, or to enjoy oneself. If you enjoy yourself, you're in the groove. And I do believe a Christian ought to enjoy yourself. I think it ought to be fun. When I was a kid, I didn't have too much fun at church. I did have some fun at church. I really enjoyed a lot of things about church. But one thing about that, I was immature and I wasn't responsible and I was just a kid and I didn't know nothing. That's why I didn't have a lot of fun. I was basically in the flesh like most teenagers are and like most pre-teenagers are. You're just in the flesh, not going to have much fun. But you begin to read the Bible and you begin to participate in the ministry of the gospel, and you can do that whether you're a pastor or Sunday school or teacher or whatever you are in the church. Even if you're just a person that comes and sits on the pew and listens, you can still be a part of the ministry. Sure. Once you become a part of the ministry, boy, you ought to enjoy yourself. It's an enjoyable thing. And Christianity is an enjoyable thing, amen? And so some of you need to get in the groove right there. Enjoy yourself a little bit, amen? This is not hard labor. And get up on Wednesday off of your recliner. I know you come home from work, lay down the recliner with a fat belly. You just got done eating, climb into the recliner, and I'm just going to take a little nap. And you wake up 6 o'clock the next morning and go to work. What happened? He's a little bit lazy. And when you think about going to church, it's just not an enjoyable thing. When you think about going to softball practice on Thursday night, boy, I can't wait to get there. Well, Thursday night and Wednesday night, not much. As a matter of fact, you ought to be a little more tired on Thursday night than you was on Wednesday night. Amen. You're further into the week. Oh, just the fact of the matter is you're a sorry devil. You need to realize that in your mind you enjoy doing these worldly things. You're not enjoying yourself as a Christian. Oh, we got to go to church and sit and listen to that boring preacher. Well, we'll let you preach. Amen? As long as you're not full of the devil. I mean, if you was on cocaine last week, I don't recommend we let you preach. But if you've been living for the Lord and trying to get involved, been praying, got something to say that'll edify God's people, you get up here and do a better job if you can. Amen? Amen. You can participate. You don't have to look at it. It's all so miserable going to church. A lot of people do have that attitude. So how do you know? Because the churches are getting emptier and emptier. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's true. That's true. You say, get on with the message. I am on with the message. I'm already on with it. Amen. Well, you ain't read your scripture yet. I don't need the scripture to get a drop on you, you old sorry devil. Amen. I'll get to the scripture. You give me time. I'm preaching this message. Amen. 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 Informal. This is an informal definition of the word groove. The informal definition of the word groove is to pitch in the middle of the strike zone. That's good right there. Now, the reason I'm reading you this definition first is when I get to preaching the message, I don't want to come back and define words. I want to preach the message. I want to give you the meat about what a Christian ought to be if he's in the groove. But I give you these definitions. That way, when I'm preaching, unless you're just kind of dense, you'll get it. If you're dense, come ask me after church or call me, and I'll text you about it for the rest of the day. Amen? To pitch in the middle of the strike zone, to kick, to throw or score with stylish ease. You know, some of you hero baseball players and basketball players, you like them so good because they in the groove. If you throwed it, it would be up in the stands. If they throw it, it'd go in a window about this big. They're just good at that. They've wasted a lot of time playing ball, so they're good at that. That's the way it is. I said, Brother Mike, you're not a very good basketball player because I got better things to do. What's the problem with that? Amen? Plus, we won't go into that, but it's to pitch in the middle of the strike zone. You know, when I tell somebody about the Lord, I want to be pitching in the middle of the strike zone. I don't want to get to talking to somebody about the Lord and say, let me see. Let me think about that a week and get back to you. I don't want to do that. I might have to do that. I would tell you that I have had to do that before. Somebody asks you a question. I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that, but I'll get it for you. I'll work hard to get it for you. Do my best to come up with it. You say, why? Because I want to be pitching in the middle of the strike zone. I think I made a couple people mad one time. I said, I just have to be honest about it. I want to be the best Bible teacher that there's ever been. I don't want to be the worst. And I don't mean that with any sense of pride or looking to be looked at as that. I'm just saying when I open the Bible and start to talk to other people, I don't really want people scratching their head. But that's, you know, when you're talking to somebody, one guy's been saved 10 years, one person in the congregation been saved a week, some people are not going to get it. I understand that, but I don't want them to be scratching their head because I'm just an incoherent weasel. I want to be pitching in the strike zone. I don't want the Lord, our umpire, saying, well, that's a complete mess right there. Amen? Absolutely. So pitching in the middle of the strike zone. And then here's the phrase, in the groove. You've heard that all the time. And the phrase in the groove means performing consistently, consistently well, and confidently. Amen? Isn't it wonderful when whatever it is that you're doing it with confidence? Have you ever got a new job and you showed up at your first day at the job and everybody's looking at you and you don't know what to do? You've never done that before. You've never been around that trade or you've never done that job and you don't know what to do and every little thing has to be told to you. And then when you start to do it, you mess it up. And partly the reason you messed it up because somebody looking over your shoulder. All I had to do was put this piece on and pull this lever like this. And the job is done. I put this one over and get the next one. That's all there is to it. But somebody watching you over your shoulder, you put it in the wrong spot or just that kind of nervousness. Well, it's because you don't have confidence. Confidence comes with repetition. Confidence comes with assurance. Confidence comes from being in the groove. You know what needs to be done. You know how it ought to be done. You know how fast it ought to be done. That's why some preachers get out of the groove and quit because they think they're supposed to have 500 the third Sunday after they took over the church. That's just not the way it works. Matter of fact, in my experience, I went to a church one time and was the pastor of that church, and they had about 70 the first week. And after I got done preaching, the next week we had about 12, and it stayed that way for a little while. And it took a long time to build it back up to 70 and beyond that. It takes a little time. But you got to do it consistently. You got to be consistent and you got to keep You got to stay in the groove. Amen. And with that, let's read Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 9. And it says, I, John, who am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. Look, the church at Smyrna, that's Faith Baptist Church in Smyrna, Delaware. We made the list, amen? That's good to know, and I always thought that was pretty neat, Smyrna. But here we are, amen? Here we are this morning, and what I want to say to you this morning is just stay in the groove, amen? Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity to come. We thank you, oh God, for the opportunity to preach, and I pray, God, as the folks are listening, whether it's online or this small group that's gathered here together, I pray your name would be glorified. I pray you'd forgive me of my sins. Unworthy, God, to be here today, unworthy to be a preacher. I'm the most base among us, and I pray, oh God, that you would just use your word, Lord, to encourage your saints, God, that are not able to be in the house of God, just to stay with the stuff, to stay in the groove, to keep on keeping on, like my old preacher used to say. And I thank you and praise you for all that you do. For us poor, miserable men, God, I thank you for what you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. Now, John said here in this passage, he says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I looked at that little passage of Scripture right there, and that's really a great statement. You know what John was? John was in jail, basically. The Bible says he was in the isle that's called Patmos. He was there because he was exiled there. He was there because he'd been preaching, doing what he was supposed to be doing, and he got trouble for it. That's what he got. He got tribulation. The Lord said that in this world you'll have tribulation. And John was doing what was right, and what he got for it was jail. The Apostle Peter did what was right, and what he got for it was jail. The Apostle Paul did what was right, and what he got for it was jail. And Jesus Christ did what was right, and what he got for it was the crucifixion. That's what he got for doing right. And that's what you get in the world for doing right. A lot of people does right, and then people disagree with it. They think, well, I must not be right with God. I must not have the power of God. Because I've been preaching, I've been witnessing all these people, they just getting madder and madder and madder. And the church does what it's supposed to do. And look, now we can't even meet together. I mean, what's wrong? There ain't something's wrong, something's right. You think Jesus had the power of God? Well, just compare the number that believed and the number that didn't. You see, it's kind of lopsided. They hung Jesus on the cross. John goes out and he begins to preach, and Peter and the rest of them go out. But John's preaching, he ends up in jail. He said, I'm your brother in tribulation. I, John, who am your brother and companion in tribulation. He said, tribulation and the kingdom and patience. He said, I was doing what was right, and all I had for it was trouble. Sometimes Christians will get to the place where they think, well, I'm saved. I do believe in Jesus, and most people, if they're honest, they'll go ahead and say, I'm not the best Christian that I ought to be, but I'm having all this trouble. That's the situation that John is in right here. And he's locked up in jail. I don't know all the details about that. I don't think anybody does know all the details about what it's like to be exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Some people talk like they was there. Yeah, Paul in the Palpatine prison. I don't know what it is. That's Star Wars or something. I don't know what that junk is. The Bible didn't bother to mention it, so I didn't worry too much about it. But I don't say what prison he was in. Oh, well, some guy from Rome said it. I don't care what some guy from Rome says. All I know was he was locked up. Amen? I know John was on the isle that's called Patmos, but I can imagine in my mind maybe what he done. I can imagine one day probably looking around, probably he's flesh and blood. I know John the Baptist, after he got locked up in jail and started suffering a little bit of persecution for standing for the right thing, you know what he done? He got locked up in jail. Amen. And he said, boy, I tell you what, you married the wrong woman right there. Oh, we've come a long way from John the Baptist, hadn't we? You get divorced 7 or 8 times, everything's all right. No, it ain't all right. And if you begin to preach like that, oh, you ought to have grace. Well, old John the Baptist didn't have much grace, I guess. John the Baptist, I bet you had more grace than you've ever thought about. But when something was wrong, he said, hey, that ain't your wife right there. That's somebody else's wife. What'd they do? They throwed him in jail. Well, Lord, I thought you was going to bless me and give me a congregation of 500 after I stood up to the king. I stood up to the king. You're supposed to promote me now. Well, that ain't the way it happened, is it? You know what he done? He said, he called some of his disciples in and said, go ask Jesus if he's really the one. Moment of weakness. You say, what caused that moment of weakness? Going through hardship. So I can imagine old John sitting on the Isle of Patmos thinking about his situation. And I don't know if he had freedom of movement, but maybe he's on an island. Maybe he walked down to the shore one day and just sitting there thinking, leaned up on a rock and fell asleep and began to dream about sitting at the table with Jesus and leaning on the sure enough rock. Amen? Remembering what it was like and how Jesus defined everything that was going to take place and how Jesus told him that it was going to be that way. Jesus didn't promise you was going to have flowery beds of ease. He said in this world you're going to have tribulation. And when you stand up for what's right, people are going to say bad things. And when it seems like everything ought to be going right, you're going to have problems like this. And there's no doubt in my mind that there's going to be preachers out there and there's going to be other folks that work in churches that normally have everything go right. Things are going to start falling apart. And they're not going to get all the money that they normally get. And they're not going to be able maybe to pay some bills. And it's going to look like it's very difficult. And you got to when you get in times like that, you just got to look back to the time when Jesus dealt with you very sweetly. Very sweet of Jesus to let old John lean over there on his bosom, wouldn't it? It sure was. He said, I'm going to let you lean on my bosom right here, but one of these days you're going to lean on a prison post. Amen? And I tell you, John didn't get down in the dumps about it because when he wrote his friends right here, you know what he said? He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen? You know what he was saying? He said, I'm still in the groove. Yes, sir. Listen, when the troubles and trials are going on and you can still come to the house of God in the Spirit, that's pretty good. Amen? I was down in the dumps on Friday, but it's the Lord's day now. It's time to pull up my bootstraps and let's get this thing going, amen? I'm in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's exactly what he's saying. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He said, I'm telling you what, there's trials and tribulations in our past. I'm going through trials and tribulations right now. There's going to be some trials and tribulations, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. When he was in the Spirit, I'll get a little ahead of the message, but when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he turned around and heard a great voice. A lot of people don't hear a great voice. All they hear is pessimism and doom and gloom. And I don't like to talk too much about stuff like that because while there is doom and there is gloom and all that stuff is true and it's going to come, there's greater days are coming. Yep. Amen. Everybody got this disease. A lot of people ain't.
That's right.
Amen. So a lot of people got this disease. A lot of people are getting well. So a lot of people are dying, but more people are getting well. Amen. Amen. And then you say, boy, I tell you what, I know somebody, and they're at death's door. Well, death's door is the door to heaven as far as Christians are concerned, and I'm not making light of it. Boy, I'd be just as sad as anybody. My uncle is laying on his deathbed right now, been living a long time and living a very bad life, a very mean life, but he got saved the other day, and he's laying at death's door, but he's laying at God's door.
Amen.
So it took him a long time to do it, but guess what? He's in the groove now. Amen. If you're in the groove, you get down to the end of the record after a while. Amen. You live in your record right now. Your life is recorded. And one of these days, you're going to get down to the end of the record, and the record ain't going to skip. And God's going to call you up. And whether you went by trial or tribulation or burning or prison or disease, doesn't make no difference. You'll be right there at God's door when you're at death's door. Old David said, I'm not worried about going through the valley of the shadow of death. There's a light on the other side of that door casting that shadow. Amen? Absolutely. That's what he's saying. He says, I was in the Spirit. I got reason to complain. Got reason to not be enjoying my present situation, but I was still in the Spirit. Amen? When he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, what he said was, boys, I just wrote to tell you, I'm in the groove. Amen. Some of you need to get in the groove. Amen. I tell you what, after we've had to miss church for about 3 or 4 Sundays, there'll be a lot of people that need to get back in the groove. The flesh is weak, my brothers. The flesh is weak. 2 or 3 Sundays out of church has ended a lot of Christian careers.
That's right.
I promise you that. I promise you. So, well, we do get to listen to it online. Boy, I hope you eat it up. I hope you tell all the kids to sit down and shut up. Amen. Telling kids to be quiet don't work too much. You got to say it like this. Shut up! That gets her attention, amen. You say, well, I keep having to tell my kids to shut up over and over. That's because you sound like you love them when you say it. You got to sound like you're going to bust them up if they don't, amen? Amen, that's right. Well, you sit there and listen to the church online and drink your soda pop and wander around and go to the restroom and go to the kitchen. You get out of the groove. That's what you'll get. You're meddling, Brother Mike. Well, I've been preaching about stuff going on in your living room for 25, 30 years. I'm going to keep on doing it, amen? It's just appropriate that most of you is right there in the setting that we're talking about, amen? Just stay in the groove, amen? John looked up, persecuted, and many disagreed with him, and he was in tribulation, and things wasn't going his way. But you know what he said in verse number 9? He said, I who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom and patience. He was in the right kingdom, and he had a little patience. You're saved. You're in the right kingdom. Now just have a little patience. Brother Mike, I surely would like to get back to church. I would too. Just have a little patience. Well, bless God, the government can't tell me, hey, relax just a little bit. The Bible says there's something wrong with somebody that despises governments. That's what you need is government. If you didn't have the government, you'd be out there shaking hands with some fool that's covering up his symptoms right now, and you'd end up with it in your family too. Just sit down and have a little patience. Amen? That's right. That's right. Have a little patience. Old John had a little patience. You ever get put in jail, you need a little patience. That's right. Amen? So he says, I was in the isle that was called Patmos. Look what he said here. He says, I was in the isle that's called Patmos for the word of God. For the word of God. You see that? That's the Christian groove. The word of God is the Christian groove. You know, if you got the Bible, you got enough. You may not have a college education. You may not have a lot of finances. One thing I hate to see in Christianity is somebody that gets into the ministry because they got money. Amen. And that happens quite a bit. A brother's got money and he'll give you some money, you invite him to preach. Well, what is that, an invitation for more money, or you think the guy's got good sense? Because I know the guys and they ain't got good sense. But what they do got is money. You can't buy the Spirit of God. And I tell you what, you can't buy the groove with money. You can go through the motions. But a lot of people going through the motions, they ain't got the groove. I've seen this family going around the country singing, and they're so talented. But I'll tell you this, talented's not the groove.
That's right.
Old Brother Jesse's very talented, but you know what he's got? He got the groove. Sometimes Jesse says some things, and I'm like, I don't know about old Jesse. Jesse must be about half crazy. But I tell you what, when he gets up to sing, it's always right. And boy, you better get right with God. I ain't going to butter you all up. Amen. I'm not going to be all one side about it. Don't let your head get blowed up. When old Brother Jesse comes to the piano, 9 times out of 10, it's the right song. It's not talent. It's an open ear to the Word of God that puts you in a place where nobody else can go. If you got money, if you got talent, if you got education, if you got influence, if you got pull, if you got status, you can't get into God's groove. You got to have God's word. Now, if you got all those things and you love God's word, welcome to the party, amen? Ain't nobody mad at you because you got money. We need folks that's got money. Absolutely. If we depended on my bank account to keep this thing rolling, we wouldn't have nothing. I tell you what, we'd be meeting outside every Sunday. Amen. But I tell you what, he said, old John said, I'm in the Spirit on the Lord's day because I got God's word. And that's what you need. You don't need education. You don't need all that stuff we've been talking about to build a church. You need God's word. God's word has the right plan. It has a correct estimation of everything that's happened in the past. It's got a clear understanding of what's going on right now. and it's got a pretty clear picture of what's going on forward. The people who actually live the future will understand it better than we do, but boy, we got a pretty clear picture of what's going to take place in our future because we got God's Word. I'm glad we ain't got to rely on Benny Hinn to tell us what's going to happen. Amen? Or Alex Jones. Amen. Somebody told me one time, said, you ought to listen to old Alex Jones on the radio. Well, I listened to him a couple of times, and you know what I found out before long? Nothing that he says comes to pass. So I ain't listening no more. Amen? The rest of these political talk shows get on and talk about how bad things was. Hey, I knew how bad things were going to be before I got 10 years old. I was already reading my Bible at that time, going to be bad. Reading my Bible, it's going to be bad. Brother Mike, you ought to be more positive. About what? I'd be positive on the positive side. We're going to heaven, Brother Joe. Amen. Well, on your way to heaven, how about staying in the groove, would you? It's the Word of God. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, but he said, I was in the isle that was called Patmos for the Word of God. What got him in that trouble? The Word of God. Now, ain't that something? Most people get you in trouble, you won't talk to them no more. Amen? Hey, don't make no mistake about it. That's happened many a time. Somebody stand up for what's right in the Scripture. People begin to cry and moan and complain about it. Well, if you ain't careful, you'll let your mind talk you into just conforming to what the crowd wants. Conforming to what gets you more likes on Facebook. Amen? And before you know it, ain't nobody standing up for nothing. All of a sudden I heard Preacher Lackey talking about all these people. Now, this was back in the 60s. He was talking about all these people doing yoga, and he was bearing down on it. He said, all you people out there, you're following this Eastern mysticism, and you think you're going to breathe this way, and you're going to stretch this way, and you're going to hold your breath till all of a sudden you get in contact with God. He said, no, you're just going to do that till all of a sudden you're a jackass. And that's true. That's true. That's as true a statement as can be made. Amen? But you got God's Word. You got what's happened in the past and an explanation of it and everything that's ever going to happen laid out right in front of you. You can have perfect access to it. When hard times come, you say, Jesus said it was going to be this way. When the next plague comes, you say, boy, Jesus warned us. And hadn't God been good to us that we hadn't had a major health issue in this country for a very long time? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And I'm not talking about the rise of socialism. I'm talking about the rise of liberal ideas has brought some of this stuff back around to us. Yeah. Amen? Not about being a Democrat or a Republican or wanting to redistribute the wealth. Doesn't have nothing to do with that. What it has to do with people got away from God.
Yeah.
And America's got out of the groove, and you're going to find out there's some powerfully bad stuff outside the groove. Yeah. Inside the groove, you might experience some bad stuff too, but it's better to be in the groove. Yeah. If you're in the groove, I mean, if you understand what a groove is now, there's a little protection on each side. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. The groove keeps you in, but the groove makes it hard for you to get out, really. Amen. But it also provides protection to the stuff that's on the other side of that little groove. Amen. Amen. John said, I was in the isle that was called Patmos. You know, I don't go by the history, and I don't know if it's true or not, but they say they tried to boil old John in oil. Didn't work. I don't know if that's true or not, but if it is true, guess what? He's in the groove. Amen. If you're in the groove, God will protect you a little bit. Amen. Preach the Word. Believe the Word. Follow the Word. Amen. He must have been in the groove. You're still reading his book 2,000 years later. That's last week, or last month's bestseller. Ain't even nothing but a distant memory now. I don't even know what last year's bestseller was, do you? But I know what. Book of Revelation still being read all over the world. You say, why is that? He's in the groove. A lot of people are going to go through this Christian life and put on Facebook, yes, I love Jesus, and they're not going to make a dent in this world because they're not in the groove. Amen. One day old Noah was building a boat, and some fella come out and said, what you doing, Noah? He said, I'm building a boat. Well, what you doing that for, Noah? He said, going to rain. What is rain? Must have been the question. Wasn't no rain before that. What is rain? God's going to open up the heavens and water's going to come down. That's ridiculous, Noah. Come back the next day. Noah, what are you doing? Building a boat. Come back the next day. What are you doing, Noah? I'm building a boat. You say, what he's doing? He's staying in the groove. Who told you to build this boat? God told me to do it. I got God's word on it. It ain't never rained before, Noah. What's going on? God said it's going to rain. Built that boat for a long time. And guess what? One day it started raining. When it started raining, he's in the groove. Amen? God's word. Got God's word on it. Amen? John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, but he said, I was in the isle that was called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, you read the word of God, you're supposed to go out and be a witness, tell what you learned in God's word. You're supposed to be doers of the word, not just hearers. Go out and talk about what you learned. Old Jeremiah heard from God one day, and he went out and said, hey, everybody, I got some bad news. One of these days, some enemy's going to come in here and take this place over and going to carry us all away captive. People said, hey, this guy is against us. This guy hates us. When actually, he was just trying to give them a warning. But that people didn't take it that way. Amen? But it was a testimony. Now you run out to somebody and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Why are you always talking about Jesus? Listen, Jesus saved my soul. Jesus trying to save you from hell. Jesus died on the cross. Man, I don't want to hear all that junk. What should your words? I mean, don't get mad at them and don't talk to them no more. The next time you see them, tell them the same thing. And the next time you see them, tell them the same thing. I couldn't tell you how many times we witnessed to my uncle and he said, I'm all right. Me and Jesus got our own thing. I mean, he said that to me more than a couple of times. He said, hey, me and Jesus got our own understanding. I'm sorry, you and Jesus don't have your own understanding. But we sent preachers and we talked to him ourselves and over went back to him and said, hey, you need to be saved, Dusty. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. And listen, the day before he got saved, I talked to him and he said, I'm all right. I believe in Jesus. Next day, a preacher come by his room and talked to him a little bit and he got saved. You said, why? Because Christians was in the groove. Come at him every day. Come at him all the time. Come at him year after year. Just keep going and going and going and doing the same thing. And there you'll be in the groove. You may not get all the right responses and all the right results that you think you should have, but you'll be in the groove, amen? You'll be in the groove. They threw Jeremiah in prison. Jeremiah said, Lord, I ain't a preaching no more. But he waited around a couple of days and had this burning down in his bones. He said, where'd that burning in the bones come? Some folks talk about a burning in the bosom. That's because you eat pizza. Amen. Don't worry about that. I think it's Mormons or something like that. Now, when we leave, you'll get a burning in the bosom. What you doing, throwing a curse on me? I don't want none of that. But once you're in the groove and you try to get out of the groove, it'll burn down your bones. The Holy Spirit's in there, amen. Jeremiah said, I think I'll preach one more sermon. Amen. I think I'll get back to doing what I ought to do. And one day Daniel was in captivity. Daniel chapter 9 tells you about this. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 10, you can read that for yourself if you want to. But Daniel down in captivity said, I was reading over in the book of Jeremiah and I found out that we're only going to be here 70 years. Going to be rough. Going to be some hardship while we're in this captivity. But one of these days, God's going to get us out of this captivity. You know what Daniel's message was for the children of Israel? After that, he got down and began to pray. And began to, in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel prays a prayer of confession like you never prayed in your life. I recommend it. Amen. Lord, you're great and we're bad. Yeah. You know what? Now, if you read that passage of Scripture in Daniel chapter 9, you know what the summary of Daniel's prayer is? The summary of Daniel's prayer is, we got out of the groove, but Lord, you're still in the groove. Ain't you glad you serve a God that ain't never got out of the groove? Amen. The Bible says that in very certain terms. It says God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Hey, God is faithful. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We got a faithful God. You know what the word faithful means? It means in the groove. Amen. God's a merciful God. God ain't about to get out of the groove either, amen? God is not a man, amen? God's not a man like you and I are, absolutely not. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a great voice. You know, John sat here praying and said, Lord, I've been through this persecution. I've been through these trials. I've been through these troubles. Oh, God, I imagine he's praying. Wouldn't you imagine that John prayed on the Isle of Patmos, And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. You know, people that's in the Spirit, just like Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, they pray. If you're in the Spirit, you pray. And if you listen, if the Spirit's in you, he's praying for you. But there's a lot of prayer going on there in Daniel chapter 9. And when he gets up, the Bible says there's a fellow standing there. The angel Gabriel standing there showed up to give him some relief. Showed up to give him some information. Showed up to direct his mind and his heart. That's what Gabriel showed up for. John was in the isle that's called Patmos. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. There's no doubt in my mind he was a praying. And when he gets up, he hears a great voice. And it's the Lord himself. Then showed up and said, hey, let me tell you what's going to happen. Amen. There's untold hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands, millions of people, maybe even billions of people around the world today that's wondering what's going to happen. You know what they ought to do? They ought to get in the Spirit. They ought to get in the groove and stay in the groove. You say, well, what's the benefit of that? When the hardships and trials like this come, you'll turn around, there he'll be. You'll hear a great voice, not a sorrowful voice or a grieving voice or a harsh voice or a scorning voice. You get that heart of repentance and you get that mind towards God and you get in God's Word and start applying a little bit of patience to your life and say, God, I know things ain't going like I want it to, but I'm just going to wait on you. You say, what you do? That God will begin to speak to your heart. We sung that song just a little bit ago, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. You know what that blessed assurance comes from? Comes from being in the groove. Doing what you're supposed to be doing as a Christian on a consistent basis. And it's wonderful things. Reading your Bible. You know what John said right there in that same chapter? Blessed is he that readeth. Isn't it kind of amazing that that little statement shows up in the same chapter where John tells you, I'm having hardship, but I'm still in the Spirit. I'm having hardship, but I'm still hearing God's voice. Amen. Blessed is he that readeth. Get in the book and read it and believe it and take all that the Lord will give you. And when hardship comes, say, Lord, I really don't want to go through this. Nobody wants to go through hardship or trials. I don't want to skip church and I don't want the church to be empty. And I certainly don't want to watch church on TV. I'd rather be in church on prayer. But we're going to have a couple weeks out. Going to have a couple weeks of wondering, is the next person that I come in contact with, am I going to give them a disease? Are they going to give me a disease? Nobody wants to go through that, especially a Christian. A good Christian just want to be a help and a blessing to other people, not put them in danger. Amen? Well, there's going to be a little bit of that in our future here, but if we've got God's Word and if we've got God's promises and we believe those things, just keep on keeping on doing what you're supposed to be doing for the Lord. The Lord will show up and say, this will be over in just a little bit. It's going to be bad while you're going through it, but this will be. I like what the psalmist said. He said, Lord, let me hide up under your wings till these calamities be overpassed. And they will pass over. When they pass over, you'll get to go out in the sun and stretch and go meet your brothers and have a barbecue. Just for a little while, though, going to have to be careful. Going to have to be careful. There'll be times when people, your friends, turn their back on you because of what you believe. That's going to hurt for a little while, but that time of grief will be over after a bit. Amen. Sometimes they'll even turn around and God will give you the double blessing of giving you the patience to get through the hardship. Then he'll save that person. Or he'll heal that situation, whatever it is. I mean, there's a lot of things that could go wrong. We can't talk about all of them this morning, but I know this. God can take care of all of them. Say, I got grief in my heart, Brother Mike. Just have patience. You're in the right kingdom. Get in God's Word and spend a lot of time in prayer. You'll hear that voice. The same voice that stretched out his hand over the raging sea and said, peace be still. That same one, say that in your heart and your mind. Patience, the kingdom, the Word, the prayer. Stay in the groove. Lord, we thank you, God, this morning for your goodness and for your grace. Pray you'd have your will and way in each heart and each mind. Now, thank you, oh God, for what you do. Bless the folks, God, that are listening. Bless the folks that couldn't be in your house this morning. They took the time, Lord, that they could have been doing anything else today, but they took the time to sit down and listen to God's Word being preached when nobody else saw what was going on but them. And I pray you'd help them and bless them because of that. Bless them, oh God, just because of your goodness. And I thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.